A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues, as of fire, appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in their native language. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above, and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness, and the moon to blood, before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from Paul's letter to Romans. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labour pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who are the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Come, Holy Ghost. Alleluia, alleluia. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people and kindle in them the fire of your love.
Alleluia.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke to his disciples. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who comes from the Father, he will testify on my behalf. You also are to testify, because you have been with me from the beginning. I have said these things to you, so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning, because I was with you. But now I am going to him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. About judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said, that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Zoe. I'm a friend of Jacqueline's, and I think quite a few of you in the congregation will have known Sasha, who was my sister. And so I've just been coming to this church for a while, just to help through getting through the grieving process of that and listening online. It's been really helpful for me and my family. And it's a real pleasure to be invited to come and speak to you this morning about the Holy Spirit. So before I start, we'll just have a moment of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your precious word, the words in the Bible. Help us over the next few moments just to hear what you have to say to us through the words that I'm going to offer. Lord, I pray that you speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I really love Pentecost Sunday. It's the birth of the Christian church, and it's always exciting. But this year, I think it's a little bit more significant. It feels a little bit more significant. It's the context of the pandemic that makes it so. And when I was starting to think about what to say this morning, I didn't know where to begin. And then I thought, perhaps the beginning of the Bible will give us a good head start. In Genesis 1:2, it says, "And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." So here we find the Holy Spirit right at the beginning of creation, shown here instigating God's creative work. And it's this enabling role of the Holy Spirit that we associate with the birth of the church as we celebrate Pentecost today. I know here at St. Peter's you've been praying, "Thy kingdom come." And I've been joining in with that at home, by praying for 5 people. And when I was thinking about it, I was thinking, who do I pray to? When I start to pray, I usually pray, Dear Lord, Father God, and then I finish my prayers with, In Jesus' name. I don't know how you start and end your prayers. It's much less typical for me to be praying to the Spirit, the breath of God. And I wonder how it is for you. And I think that's probably because it's easier for us to know the Father and the Son as people and our prayers to them as conversations. But perhaps praying to the Spirit or the breath of God is a little bit unnatural for us as humans. Going back to the Genesis verse, we may know the principle that the Holy Spirit was present at the beginning of creation, helping God. But if we think about Ezekiel's message from the Valley of the Dry Bones, he really tells us that the Spirit holds us together deeply in an intimate way. The story of the dry bones emphasizes that God's breath, his Spirit, is essential for us, for life. And it's so important he emphasizes it not once, not twice, but 3 times in that story. Just a couple of weeks ago, a church warden in Oxford was saying that a world disconnected from the Holy Spirit is a world in which people are finding it increasingly hard to breathe. And if we think about it, COVID itself is a disease of the lungs and people are literally dying through suffocation. Our forests and our seabeds are polluted. These are the lungs of the world and they're choking through our human actions. And this week on the news, it was a year's anniversary since George Floyd died and his last words, can you remember what they were? I can't breathe. Yeah. Breathe. We need breathe. We need the breath of God. It's so important for us not only to be in a right relationship with God the Father and God the Son, but also with the Spirit, to be fully connected with the Spirit. Thy kingdom come, this prayer novena, praying for 9 days? I think it's 9 days, helps us with that. We're focusing on prayer. And St. Paul tells us that the Spirit intercedes. The Spirit is constantly praying for us. He tells us from that reading that we heard earlier, with sighs too deep for words. And Jacqueline was teaching us last week that Jesus intercedes for us as well. So we have the Spirit and the Son interceding for us. And that's given me a lot of comfort because over the last weeks and months, I found it quite hard to pray. I've lost my way a little bit and I've struggled. But that thought that the Spirit and the Son are interceding for me when I am stuck really helps me and it's really powerful and it helps me to go on. So, what really resonates me with the passage from Acts 2 this morning is that the Holy Spirit fills the apostles. And in doing so, he's moving them on from their grieving, their loss of Jesus, their friend, their precious friend. And he's moving them out, almost pushing them out, to connect with those around them, to go out into the world. It's a dramatic illustration of God's connection to the individual and then out into the community, which again is what Jacqueline's been teaching us over the last weeks. Those apostles were in a time and a place where lots of people were gathering to celebrate Shavuot or Pentecost, the festival of the first fruits. Thousands of people would have travelled there from far and wide, and there would have been traders as well trying to make some money off the back of them, no doubt. So the scenario would have been a bit like a modern day airport lounge. That's how I play it out in my mind anyway. It would have been noisy and lots going on. And it's this enabling role again of the Spirit, which turns the confusion of those different languages into something that we can all understand, or those there could all understand. And how amazing and powerful is that? In that work, the Spirit empowered and equipped the apostles to do the work, to fulfill their calling, to take the gospel message, not just to those right around them, but to the nations, to the entire world. I said that the context of the pandemic makes this feel more significant, this anniversary of Pentecost. As we come out of the COVID restrictions, we are in a different place. We almost speak a different language, use phrases like lateral test flow, vaccination, COVID test, and all, you know, social distancing, all these words and phrases that are new to us, and we've had to get used to them. So the church's context here in Wrecklesham and the world is quite different from 15 months ago. After the great pause is a time for a new beginning as we come out of lockdown. It's a time for us to reconnect with others, to be moved from our own isolation and our own grief and our own fear. Just like those apostles, to connect more closely with God and out to others. I get a real sense today that the Holy Spirit invites us for our hearts to be open anew, or perhaps for the first time, so that we can do that, so we can authentically follow in the footsteps of those apostles. We're not being asked to begin the mission of the church. That's already happened. But I certainly feel that we're called to be bold, to adapt, and to try new things, to be open to the Spirit's equipping and sending out, so that we can communicate the gospel to those around us, this message of hope, in a way that people can really understand, because boy, do they need it. I began by saying I love Pentecost Sunday. And I love it because as we reflect back and read this exciting story, we can be excited about the future. The Spirit is with us. Jesus told us that. It's true. So I feel sure as we enter this time of this new beginning, the intimate yet powerful work of the Spirit will equip each of us in our own calling, in our relationships with the Father and with one another. So I'm going to pray now. And what I'd like to do is invite you to stand and pray, because a Bishop David of Basingstoke taught me that at this time, people would have stood up or they would have been prostrate on the ground praying. So I'm going to invite you to stand and pray, and then we're going to go into a piece of music. So when the music plays, you can either remain standing, you can dance if you want, or you can sit back down. It's really up to you. Okay. Holy Spirit, we ask you to pray for us to the Father. We ask you to breathe your Spirit into us anew, and we ask you to inspire us to speak truth to those around us. Would you show us how to love and forgive in radical ways like Jesus did, in order that each one of us is able to fulfill their calling to make Christ known in this world, and so that all creation can breathe again. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.